AZ, I was thinking about the game last night because we were talking about what went wrong and the reactions. And I remembered that during the first period, it might have been into the second, I'm not sure. And I don't tweet during a game anymore just because I can't stand people and I can't stand their reactions and their stupid comments back. And I was going to tweet out, and thank God I didn't, that's as good as you can play on the road. Like, energetic building, like they were flying, they had the 3-1 lead, Marner got off the snide in the power play. I'm like, this is good stuff. This is as good as you get for a road game. They're energized, blah, blah, blah. And then
they
we all know what
start.
Happened.
Yeah, they had a great start.
It's as good as you can play on the road at 3-1. It's as good as you can play on the road.
Outshot them, dominated possession of play. You know, you Mikheyev again last night, Marner on the power play. Like, it should have been a positive night. I think that's what's so frustrating for Keith and company is you're up 2-0 and 3-1 again on the road in New York. Buildings packed, not one mask in the building. I don't know if you noticed that. That's part of my warped mentality now as I'm watching all these American buildings in New York, which has been hit maybe worse than any other city in the Western world.
But they're allowed to go to the game.
Oh, and not a mask in sight. Not a mask in sight. Everyone just going about their business. We'll be back at full capacity in 2 months, hopefully, if we're lucky,
yeah,
if they let us.
It's just
crazy. But, yeah, you're right, though. That was a great start, and there was energy, and they came alive. And then there were defensive breakdowns, and it felt like it happened quickly. Like, when the tide turned, it was gone. And I'll say this about that New York team. Like, Panarin is their superstar. He's the highest-paid guy. But
I hardly noticed him last night.
Right. Fox is the one that – everything runs through Fox. Yeah. Like, him going on the back door last night was a really smart play. Like, he's so good.
He's efficient. Really efficient.
He's confident, too, right?
Just like, makes plays.
Yeah.
Like, really,
he's really
smart
good
player.
Yeah. But why don't we play the Marner audio from after the game? Because we had made I wouldn't say a big deal of it, but we talked about it. Everyone did. It was the elephant in the room. The guy had not scored on the power play –
In
almost 2 years, in like 100 games. And he pots one last night, a nice one too, right? Like, great feed, and he gets it up and under the bar, and he scores on the power play last night. And he was asked about it after the game, you know, the stats and scoring goals and the difficulty of it. And here's how Mitch Marner responded to that after the game last night.
I don't really care. You guys have all those stats and stuff, and honestly, I don't really see them anymore. I kind of just leave them alone.
Are you buying that he doesn't see him anymore and he leaves him alone? I just don't believe that. I think he's
it's too hard to. Guys always say, "Oh, I don't read the paper," and they pick it up on the way home from practice. And no paper. The one in the league when I was with the Leafs was like, "Guys, no more." Because what used to happen is there used to be clippings of all the stats and standings, and then clippings of all the articles that were written. And finally, guys were like, "No more. No more. Keep it out of the locker room." But guys are just too curious. They're too interested in their own self that you got to see it. Playing poorly, maybe you don't do it, but playing good, man, you want to pick that up. You want to see the headlines. You want to see the picture in the Toronto Sun of you scoring the game-winning goal. You just got to do it. To say you just ignore it is nuts. No way.
They were still available. It's called SportsScan. It's every article in the league, and it usually gets printed off, and they are in the rooms, and they're on the planes, and they're everywhere. You don't need SportsScan. You don't need anything. You know what you need? A phone. Because these guys they're on social media as much as anybody. Everyone lives on their phone. And you can't tell me that there's not headlines here and there, depending on who you follow. I think what he was saying is, listen, I'm not focused on that. You know, if he would have said, yeah, I was really focused on it and that, it becomes more of a story.
Yeah.
You know, I think he handled it really well. And why I mean that is he said it's not a big deal to me. Like, I'm just trying to play hockey here and get going. Because I think if he shines a light on it and goes, man, I was really, then it's more of a focus. He handled it in a way where Draisaitl, you know, we could have said, you know, is he getting pissy? That wasn't getting pissy. If anything, he was just like, you guys deal with that. He goes, I'm done with the stats. I thought he handled it in a way where he was like, I'm just worried about trying to get my game in order type of thing. It was not. I still believe he knows the stats. I still believe he knows exactly what's going on. These guys are as detailed as anybody. as far as their game.
It's also their lives. Why would you expect
it's his
anyone,
livelihood.
It's
exactly.
your life. Why would yes. anyone else be more aware of your own doing than yourself? I mean, Mitch Marner's well, I'll bet you he could detail a goal he scored 3 years ago in Detroit on a Tuesday night. You know,
sure.
like it's his life. It's his career. It's his game. But I agree with you, Noodles, in terms of his general approach there was, what do you want me to say? Like, it is what it is. You guys can talk about it. You guys can deal with it. I'm just going to go about my business and right. try to help this team win games.
That's the way I viewed it.
Yeah.
And now, I Noodles, right you mentioned approach. On their phone, I have never seen, like, teenage girls and guys like doing TikTok videos and stuff. No one likes their cell phone more than young hockey players these days, and it must drive old-school hockey people who like face-to-face comments, handshakes, old-school kind of discussions crazy. I put some eyes on some of the kids at the airport in the World Juniors coming home, and it was like that phone of theirs, I had never – and everybody's kind of on their phone. It's just human nature
yeah,
now.
That's
but I had now. Never seen anything like that in my life. Just eyeballs – buried into that phone. I it was like there wasn't humans around. I'd never seen anything like it.
Try right. walking through the airport. You almost run into people because everyone's buried in their phone as they're walking along.
I know,
that's
but
just,
Noodles, this was
world,
above it. I've never seen it before in my life.
And
well, anyway.
You can't filter out what you don't want to see online. I mean,
exactly.
If you're out there and you're on Twitter or Instagram or opening up a DM, you're going to see it. It's there for you. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. I'm sure you heard that Mitch Marner clip about, you know, the outside world and outside of the room focused on his points and goals and power play production. How do you feel like he handled that last night?
I think he said the right thing. I don't buy it, not really for a second. And the other part you guys were mentioning, you talk about your phone and sports scan and clips and radio, and he has a family. I always found that was the problem in Toronto for me. Like, I didn't listen to, you know, sports radio driving around the city, but my parents sure as heck did. And if something was said about me, they would let me know. So friends and family as well also will filter any message that you want to hear or don't want to hear. So he's hearing whatever. He was a little defiant, like, I don't worry about that. It's not my, like, a little bit, like, you know, a little bit antagonistic, but I would expect him to say nothing else. And I think any other version of that would probably become a bigger story, which I'm sure he doesn't want it to be.
So, Johnny, Hayes was getting a little pissy with me in the first hour. And here
right,
is
Jimmy.
The issue.
That's right. Who do you think Drysdale? It's me. It's not you. Yeah. You're Jim Matheson.
Here is the issue we were having. We were discussing last night's game and the blunders by the young defensemen that were so costly. Almost every goal, you see the young defenseman skate by, the critical errors that were made leading up to the goal. And then it led into big picture stuff from Hazy B., i.e. true colors, can't change the stripes, are they tough enough to deal with adversity? So where is your take on last night? Is there a bigger picture issue with the leads been given up, the goaltending, their stripes, or was that a young defenseman problem?
I think that is a massive leap from Hazy B right there. I mean, like yes, it's been a tough couple weeks. They've given up some leads against pretty good offensive teams while not having a full complement of players. I think maybe the one conclusion that you're starting to lean to off the last week is maybe while I have sung the praise of Sandin and Liljegren as a third pair, it seems when they've had the chances to step up and play second pair, it hasn't really gone that well. Even though I look at Liljegren's numbers and generally speaking, shots for, shots against, scoring chances, he was too a positive last night, but the big mistakes keep sliding into his game, especially Liljegren, I find, when he plays more minutes. But no, I don't think... Like, yes, they shouldn't want to change their spots. Like, they're a good team. I don't know why you would think otherwise. Are they perfect defensively? Not even close.
But
not
Hazy was close. Saying there's no – what he's saying is there's no pushback last night when things were getting a little bit difficult. And I said to him, what would you want Nylander to do, jump over the boards and run over somebody when Dermott or Sandin or Biega was coughing up the puck and it's in the back of the net? Like,
Well, it was in response to the Keefe clip. Let's play the Keefe clip.
Right.
Okay, because it was Sheldon Keefe who said his team was soft. Mm-hmm. Not Brian Hayes. It was Sheldon Keefe.
Why are you being pissy with me?
Because, Jim, you've asked too many questions in a row. That's why.
Exactly. You know everything. You know everything. Play the clip.
Play the clip. Sheldon Keefe postgame last night.
I just thought we played soft and we made poor decisions defensively. We couldn't sort anything out. I just thought it was just far different. Like, each game has been different, so it's hard to talk about patterns other than the obvious in that we've been giving up leads. But I just thought we got exposed today for being a team that was just soft and purposeless and just kind of playing the game and just hoping it was going to work out.
So that's harsh. That's very harsh. But that last part, soft and purposeless and just trying to play the game and hoping it works out, that's what sticks out to me. I'm not denying Biega, Dermott, Liljegren, Sandin struggled last night. They did mightily. They got exposed. There were times they were staring at the puck and his back throwing in the net. You can't have that at the NHL level. That's not Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, Marner's fault. But that last part, just playing the game, hoping it works out, that's what I'm driving at, because I think that's been the issue. Games 5, 6, and 7 against the Habs, game 5 against Columbus, game 7 in Boston is, let's just keep playing our game, boys. Like, hey, if it's a preseason, regular season, postseason, game 7, we just go out there with the same disposition, the same attitude. Nothing leads to a massive reaction of frustration, of I'm taking this and I'm not going to let it go this way. And I get it's an intangible and you can't find it on a stat sheet, but I think it matters and I think it means something. And if I think they're a very good team. They're a very, very good team that's going to the playoffs. And I don't think there's a team that's going to sweep them or just blow the doors off them. I think what's coming is a moment in game 6 or 7 again where they're down a goal in the third. What do you got? And if it's we're just going to keep playing and we got our expected goals and, hey, a couple of shots, you see that? That's not good enough. That's the point. That's what I'm driving at.
And let me add one more thing before you answer, MJ. My thought process is I've just noticed one thing that when teams that are capable of doing it, because not every team is, but if you have a team that's capable and built a way to play a little bit more physical, that's what they do against the Leafs. They impose their physicality. And it doesn't mean you have to do it and run people through the boards. I always use the Andre Kasha example where he plays a physical game. He plays a 50-50 on pucks, and he can win those loose puck battles. To me, I thought there were loose puck battles that were lost last night because the Rangers imposed their physicality on them. St. Louis did that to them. Colorado did that to them. And I think that's what Sheldon Keefe was talking about, big picture.
We think Colorado is a super physical team. It feels to me like a little cherry pickish. You're like, well, when it comes in game 7, there's going to be a moment. Like, yeah, well, you don't, like, the guys on this team that are the best players, if you don't think, like, there are going to be some games, absolutely, and maybe last night was one of them where they're not quite as physically engaged for whatever reason. But I don't think it's an indictment of who they are as players or that they can't. Like, you think you score like Austin Matthews without being physical, without caring, without trying to impose your will in the way that they do? You think, like, you know, William Nylander's not playing at an all-star level because he imposes his own version of physicality? Oh, was right. Like, you have to do what you do well and beat them at that. And I take those guys playing over Ryan Reeves scoring 2 every single time.
That's not the point, though.
But that's not what we're talking about.
No, I understand that. But, like, you're going to lose games, of course, and you're going to lose games to teams that play well and some teams that maybe match up are physical. But you also beat a whole bunch of teams that would be perceived as physical. So you're not going to get it done every time. I think Sheldon Keefe drives this group really hard, grinds on them, has very high expectations, and was frustrated. And he used some pretty strong language in, you know, the soft and purposeless is a pretty strong indictment of a player and a team. And I think he was not correct in saying it, and I think he was saying it for effect to get this kind of reaction and get the guy's attention. But I'm sorry, I don't buy it as a problem on the team. That doesn't mean they don't lose in the first round. I'm not saying that. They could, but I don't think it's because they're soft or because they lack compete or will or any of those things. It's just, you know, sometimes you just don't win no matter how well you do what you do.
Well, I think at some point someone's got to be responsible for that. Like, we're speaking in hypothetics now because we don't know how this spring is going to play out. They're going to the playoffs. They're going to punch another ticket and get another chance.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you explain, and these are the two best players, so I think it's reasonable. Matthews and Marner gave 5, 6, and 7 against Montreal. What was that? Is that not why were they not? Why wasn't it the willpower at that moment?
So and the guy named Phil Deneau, he's pretty good. He shut down like four top
Philip
players
Deneau
in a row.
Is what's going to cause them problems? Then there's bigger issues, Johnny.
Okay, so Phil Deneau and Carey Price stops them from scoring, and all of a sudden they don't.
Okay,
care
the year
enough,
before,
they can't
game
work
five against
it?
Columbus. Where was Philip Deneau against Columbus? The year before, game seven against Boston.
Yeah.
Like at some point, you
they
got
down because they're going to stop the puck in either of those games, and the other goalie was Korpisalo had the full series of his life against them. So, yeah, I'm making excuses, but there are reasons. And I don't think it's like, yes, you'd like to say, well, someone give me a Messier, guarantee a victory, and go get a hat trick. Yeah, okay, I like movies too. They don't always work out with happy endings just yet for this Toronto Maple Leaf team. I understand what you're saying, Brian. I just don't believe, and maybe I'm from the school of Kyle Dukes, like I believe you keep doing the right things, you keep putting yourself in those spots, and eventually they'll work out. Like, did Ovi not care for a decade? Or did somehow he magically started caring because the year that they won? Like, it's narrative.
It's not
I don't
about
think
caring.
They're all
it's,
true.
It's not about caring.
Okay,
it's about,
well, what asserting their will, putting their foot in the ground? What do you want?
Yeah,
how do you want
having
to
some
it?
Sort of some sort of a reaction that's different.
So
than
did
what they
Ovi
have
not care for a decade and just started caring now?
I just said it had nothing about caring. First of all, they won playoff rounds. They ran into teams. They
couldn't get out of the second round for a decade.
Yep, they still got to that second round. When was the Leafs get through to the second round? They haven't done it yet. But that's one player. That's Ovi. But we're talking about the whole team and specifically the top end players.
Mm-hmm.
And last night again, last night has nothing to do with the bigger picture of what they're going to run into and what they're going to have to prove is different this upcoming year. One game in New York, I didn't think they had it. I thought they played fine last night. I think it was a reaction to the second and third pairing and also an overarching message in terms of what Sheldon Keefe is trying to prepare them for when it gets to the biggest moments, when you're going to need to show the pushback, when you're going to need to show some life or some sort of different DNA. And I believe in the playoffs, in the biggest games, it's a little bit different. Like, the game is played a little bit different. The intensity's got to rise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. You
I
tell
can't
me.
Argue with that.
Am I
well,
wrong in that?
No,
like,
you're
I can't
not wrong
argue
with that.
That.
It's just not a, it's just. It's
Why
not,
are you so
not,
pissy?
It's just not the time and place
no.
for the summit right now.
No, it's not.
Along, they
but
got
it's
a great
coming
rec.
At some point. I mean, we can't sit there and say all summer, it's going to be at the playoffs, it's going to be at the playoffs, it's going to be about the playoffs. This is a playoff conversation that was sparked by a comment from the coach during the regular season.
Okay, so is this comment from a player in the league that I talked to who said, you have to play the Leafs a certain way. You have to be physical on them and lean on them, and they play differently. Doesn't mean they don't win, but it's just that's the game plan. You have to be physical if you can do that. But that's a team that isn't known as a group that doesn't like it. There's other teams that excel and don't mind it and can battle through. It's just a comment, but are there
nobody really
nights?
Likes it, Jamie. It's just who battles
I know,
through
but there
and
are there are teams that
well.
That have no problem. Washington's built like they've got Tom Wilson, Ovi, 230 pounds. Like
I didn't
you know,
have
even
a problem
Lars
with it
Eller
either. It didn't
like
mean
that.
I liked
TJ
it.
Oshie plays like that. Like all I'm saying is that, and it's not. I'm not talking at top players, but as a group, the Leafs are known, you know, as a little softer. Doesn't mean that they're not a great team. They're
well,
just...
that's the reaction when the coach uses
well,
that word.
Well, that's all part of it. Like when Drew Doughty comes in and says it, and Ovi says it. Like, is Ovi watching the Leafs? Like, yes, I bet when they play Toronto, they say, "Let's be physical." Of course, they. I got "Let's be physical" with Jeff O'Neill for a decade. Like that's
sure.
the way. That's how it was for every team. And certainly, some teams might have more guys that can be physical back. And I think that's what you guys are talking about.
Right.
Because every team would look at Toronto and say, "Look how talented they are. They're third in the league in goals, whatever they are." We have to try to be physical, take away their time and space, all those
right.
things that we've said since we were 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I guess what you're looking for is you want someone to be physical back. Yeah, that would be great if they had Tom Wilson. But I don't think it's this fatal flaw of the team that they don't have a guy like that. I believe that they can capable of playing through a team trying to be physical and win games, game four or five or six or seven, as Brian's said. I know they haven't, so it's a hard argument to make because they haven't. They've had opportunities, and they haven't.
Well,
I believe they can.
I'm not saying it's one player. I think it's team toughness. It's the way you play. I don't see Pierre Engvall ever being a guy who takes hits and gives hits, even though he should, because in that role, I think a third line creates energy, can change the tides. Yes, the third line's looked really good right now, But in a matchup in the playoffs, and we all know the rules are different in the playoffs. Those aren't going to change.
It's going to be the same story every year.
That's my point. So what I'm saying is it's team. I'm not looking at Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner. They need to dig in on their own. But as a group, if you lean on them, what is the response? That would be my question in the playoffs.
Well, the response would likely be, they'll push back as best they can, but they try to play with the puck and create and score goals and make you pay on the penalties. And that's how they are designed to win. And if you don't think that that could ever win, then maybe it can. And maybe it won't.
Right.
But first of all, I think it was awfully premature for Sheldon to even go down this road at this moment. I don't think the top players in Toronto, given the way they play, given their production, given how good they've been at other parts of their life, it's not like they've come up short in the playoffs in other spots, in the Olympics, in the Memorial Cup. It's a different competition, but those teams try to play physical. I still think that's not the problem. If you have a team trying to run around and play against Toronto because they don't like it tough, I still like the team that has the better players to win.
Yeah, no, the talent is very obvious. I mean, they're a very good team. No one's questioning that. It's just a matter of, I think they're all wired the same.
So do you think, Brian, that they need different personnel, or you think that they need their personnel, their best players, to behave differently in those moments?
Well, I do think they need to. The problem with this is you can't quantify that, Johnny. I can't sit there and say,
do you want Austin Matthews to take a run at someone? John Tavares and take a double minor for roughing?
Maybe it's selfish and maybe it's completely self-serving, and I have no idea if it would have any effect on anything. But to see them show some frustration or show some anger from time to time, I don't think would be a bad thing. But and I wonder if that's what Sheldon Keefe is pointing to. I think they all have the same disposition, which I think over the course of a long season is a positive. I don't think these guys get thrown off, and I think it works well in this market because this market can be very loud and it can swing both ways. And I think they know what they are. They're very confident. They show up. They're like, we're going to do our thing tonight, and Matthew's going to have 55, 60 goals, and Willie's having a great year. But, when it gets to a point, if you're down 2-0 in a series, I don't know, you show up to game 3 just saying we're going to do the exact same thing or have the same attitude. Is that going to work for them? I'm not sure, because I think they're all wired very similarly.
Think it's about playing better, because if you want to go out on the ice being down 2-0 and take stupid penalties, then you're going to be down 3-0.
It's not so much about taking stupid penalties.
I get it, but you're talking about show your frustration. Well, then you got Tim Matheson saying, why are you showing your frustration?
Why are you so pissy?
He did literally ask that. When you showed your frustration, is that a good thing?
The other thing is the timing of it. Like, Sheldon Keefe, that's not just...
They're blowing leads.
He pulled that out of his pocket. I think he's trying to send a message to his group at a time where it's still there's more than half a season left, but he sees something that he'd like to nip in the bud. And I brought it up at the start of the show. When you watch that All or Nothing, he smelled a rat early on. He even said it in that team meeting where he's like, guys, things have been too easy. We're just scoring, and we're scoring our way out of problems and stuff. He wanted the team more dedicated in certain areas. So certainly that comment last night is kind of a shot across the bow, like, hey, I want you guys to play a little tougher in critical areas on the ice. That's what I got out of it.
And I think that is a positive.
I am okay with that. That is okay. Like, absolutely. Like, do they need to defend harder around the front of their net? Do they need to be more aware in those defensive situations where they've had those big breakdowns? Absolutely. I think that is spot on, and that is something that they are working on, and that's probably something that Sheldon Keefe is gnashing his teeth over because he wants to see them stop making those kind of mistakes. That is 100% accurate. But I still think the guys that are there, they're a top 10 team in the league, basically, defensively.
Right.
Defensively.
That's the point. I guess that's what I'm saying, Johnny, is I think it's a positive that I'm in this frame of mind in terms of being curious how they're going to react, because I have no issue with their talent. I have no issue with their structure. I have no issue with their goaltending. And I think Keefe's a pretty good coach. I think they've got the makings of being a team that can win a cup. The question is that unknown ingredient of rising to the moment. And for 5 years, it hasn't been there. Now, for a variety of reasons, some of it's luck, some of it's goaltending, some of it's just you faced a better team in a moment. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of where I think most people land, is tons of talent, really good team, depth. Last night, like, you're not going to have Biega and Dermott playing minutes in the playoffs. Like, that's right. Not going to happen. And I think Jack Campbell's run into a bit of a stumbling block here, but I think he'll settle in and be fine. So if it is coming down to how are you wired, are you going to fight through, and that's what I'm driving home at. And I think that's what Sheldon Keefe's curious about. Well, and I think those comments last night speak to the pressure within the organization as well, which absolutely should be there. This team hasn't won a playoff series in what, 17 years?
18 years, yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on these guys, and I think they understand it. And I think he's looking at that and saying, this is what's going to change between this year and the last years, because Matthews is one of the best players in the world. Like, they got a ton of talent, ton of depth. I think they'll acquire a piece or two at the deadline, and I think we'll go into the playoffs saying, man, this is a good team. So what's going to separate you? And that's what I think he's driving at. I think that's where it's coming from.
I wasn't, you know, adding, it's not about roster construction the way it is. It's more about the guys on the roster digging in and competing for 50-50 battles. Too many, you know, I thought there was too many poor routes or bailouts or situations where they lost them against teams that want to do that. And I think that's what Sheldon's saying, is like, consistently, it's going to get harder from now to the rest of the year and deeper. We've got to find a way to be consistent in that, you know, that pushback area as well. That's probably what he's identifying. And obviously, missing Jake Muzzin on the back end. He's a big physical guy who absorbs and gives hits as well. Like, he wears people down.
But that might happen in the playoffs, and that can't end you. You know what I mean?
I get it.
If you have injuries, if you're a good enough team that's worthy of victory, you fight through everything.
Yeah, I've talked to Dougie Gilmore numerous times in the past about him having success in the playoffs, being not a big guy, and how skilled he was. And he just basically said, I competed, and I would do anything to help my team win. I didn't run over people. I didn't, you know, he would get in the muck or whatever, but it was just ultra competitive and ultra compete. And that's what our guy Killer did every shift. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, he had 137 points 1 year, so he's pretty talented with that compete, though, right? I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't.
That's right, Johnny.
Say,
when you have a talented player,
I'm not
going to
be a difference maker. But if you're great and you're wired like that, then maybe you're onto something. And I guess that's what you're saying. They have the talent. They just need that wiring, I suppose. But I just think they have that wiring. It just manifests itself differently. Like, no player is great without being hyper competitive, super intense, hard on themselves. They just maybe show it differently than people would want to see.
Yeah, and again, they're going to get the opportunity again.
Yeah. Like, proof in the pudding, right?
Yeah, like, that's right.
Like, we're going to know, and they will be broken apart is what they're going to be. Forget about crucified or criticized. They're going to be broken apart as a team if they don't win the first round.
Right, so, and Johnny, if that happens, it won't be because they're not talented enough, right? Like, if they lose in the first round, it won't be, well, we don't have the talent.
They just didn't play good enough, period.
What if they play Tampa? Is that because they're not talented enough? What if they play Tampa in the first round?
Well, maybe they will. I mean, I think
that's a good
chance
they
will.
It might be because they're just not good enough. Like, they're just that there's not as good of a team.
Yeah. Well, I would hope after 5 years of playoff failure, at some point that can't be used anymore, and I don't think it will be. But it might be true, though. It absolutely could be the case.
It might be true this year.
It
wasn't true last year, but it might be true this year.
Yeah, it could be the case. All right, Johnny. I don't know what we've solved here, but we'll figure it out.
We got nothing. You got all pissy on me, and that's all we got done.
I know. I am pissy today.
Why are you so pissy?
I am pissy.
You do have a great T-shirt jacket combo going, though. Very, very
thank
strong.
Thank you.
Very
yeah.
Miami Vice-ish. I like it.
Why are you showing your frustration? You think that helps the show?
Well, you know who's going to get the first question tonight if the Oilers lose? Jim Matheson.
Oh, God, I hope so.
And it'll be a PR circus.
I want to see him, though, on the TV. I want to see his grill.
Because he was in the room.
He was in the room. That's the thing. He was in the room. But I, you know.
Why are you so pissy?
He wouldn't.
Why are you so pissy?
I would have absolutely tore a strip off him if he had. What are you, my dad? What do you care if I'm pissy or not? We haven't won in a month. That's why I'm pissy,
Tim. If a media member ever talked to me like that, I would chew his face right off.
Oh, God, I'd go crazy.
Yeah, it wouldn't go over well.
What do you got?
I would internalize it like the Leafs guys and just kind of go and do better the next game. That's what I
expect tonight. I expect Leon Draisaitl. He's going to score tonight. Point up to the Raptors to Jim Matheson.
He can play 27 minutes, and they're going to win.
Yep. All right, buddy.
We all played with guys that would have said to Tim, do you want to fight right now, right here? Like, you just want to fight. Yeah.
What if he said that to Kelly Chase?
He would have come over
the stage.
Do you want to fight? Like, drop the gloves right here in this room, Tim.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, Johnny, it's been good, buddy.
All right, Johnny. Thank you, buddy. There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. How about your boy Nazem Kadri last night with another goal and assist?
15th of the season.
Yeah, he's looking pretty good. Up for a contract, too. We'll ask Pierre LeBrun about that in the next hour. We've got our sports Wordle debut. It's happening. Oh, I think you're going to take over the whole operation.
I love it.
Sure am. It's just,
love it.
It's the five-letter. You guys are losers, and we're going to cater to the loser crowd with you two, the two-headed monster that controls the beast.
Next.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds. How many people have seen these movies and even understand the reference? It's such an old movie.
You got to be probably 35 plus.
Oh, yeah. Like, this was before my wheelhouse, man. These came out, when did they come out? Early 80s? Mid 80s? Something
like that.
For sure.
It was 80s type stuff for sure. So, we've got you two nerds who love Wordle. And what I'm looking for right now, and we have the sports angle twisted into the Wordle, is five letter words to describe certain elements of sports that have happened recently.
Okay.
Fairly simple, guys. Do we understand? If you both can't pick the word, I might throw in a letter, possibly two, and that'll be Overdrive Wordle.
Okay,
so say it again. Five letters.
Every word in Wordle is five letters, correct?
Look at you. You seem to know that pretty well for someone.
You told me yesterday, you donkey.
Okay.
Anyway, first five-letter word. The five-letter word for Keith's mood after last night's game.
Pissy.
Wrong.
I was going to jump on pissy, too. That felt like it was definitely going to be pissy. Moody? What about moody?
Incorrect.
Angry.
I will give one letter. It's an I.
That doesn't help me much, Noodles. I don't know where you're at. An I.
Irate.
Correct, Noodles. You won the first jumble of the Overdrive Revenge of the Nerds Wordle.
That's really quality stuff from Noodles.
That is really good stuff.
Noodles might be like a just
throw him on a game show.
I don't like this game anyways.
Throw him
I told
on a
you.
Game
I,
show.
Exceptional status of Wordle. That's Noodles. You're McDavid and Crosby and Shane Wright.
No.
Five-letter word to describe how Nick Nurse feels about his bench.
Hates.
How?
Is that necessary? That's a pretty
That's going to be the standard no.
Decent
but I like it. I like it, but that's not correct.
Gross.
What sound is that? Is that when we had
LeBron
farting?
Your boy Cooley. Yeah, LeBron. Oh, yeah. It wasn't Pierre's chair.
LeBron's chair.
Nick Nurse feels about his bench. First word is a D.
Doubt.
Bang!
Noodles is Ken Jennings of Overdrive Wordle. Like, you are
Ken
a phenom.
Noodles. Wow. Ken Noodles.
Doubt. Listen, I think it's stronger than doubt. Let's be honest. He hates. I think hates was the appropriate
word. That's why
word.
I said gross.
Don't get pissy,
anyways,
Jimmy.
Yeah. I'm getting pissy. I'm
this
Leon.
This is the Grappler's itinerary. I'm the host of the show.
Okay.
All right? Five-letter word for Mike McCarthy's clock management skills.
Pukes.
Wrong.
You're saying stupid stuff.
That's not true. He pukes all over himself whenever he hates a clock.
Stink.
Wrong. Stink is wrong, but it's in the same area.
Stunk.
Reek.
Give us a letter.
Give us something.
T.
Here. T. Tanks? Jennings?
Starts with T, smells.
Jennings, I need you here, Jennings.
R.
Turds. Turds.
Morons, I can't take it.
T-R is how it starts?
It's trash.
Trash.
Oh,
trash.
Trash. Trash is very, that's a good one. Yeah, that's, how is pukes inappropriate, but trash is just a classier sports
word. I'm just saying, don't rip on the itinerary here. It's the grappler. It's our
grappler.
It's our production. Five-letter Wordle for the golf world vibe if Rick Fowler wins this weekend.
Happy.
Morons! I can't take it!
I think the golf world would be happy. How's that moron? That's not a moronic one.
It's just what happens if you don't get it right.
I see, okay.
Shart.
The opposite of a shart. You're saying if he wins.
It's not shart, but same first two letters.
Okay. Shock.
Hey!
It would be shocking. Where does he currently stand before we continue with this? Because
dude, I don't know. He's probably chopped. Phil Mickelson was +7 the last time I checked.
Hey, you know who had a hole in one today?
Jerry Higgs.
Your boy Harry Higgs.
Harry Higgs. Continue. We got to try to get the viz of that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we do.
Last one of our inaugural Revenge of the Nerds Overdrive Wordle. Give me the Wordle on how the city of Montreal reacted to Tampa Montreal split being killed.
Oh, you're talking about the Rays, because that came down today that whole
So the Montreal fan base, when they found out that nothing was coming to Montreal, what would their reaction have been?
Pukes.
Well,
all you guys say
gracious,
sharp
come on.
And puke.
Well, that's Wordle, though. You got to get started, right? You just got to get the ball rolling.
Exactly.
Angry?
We need a letter.
Angry?
Same family.
Okay.
I starts with I.
Irate. No, we got that already.
Sounds similar. First two letters.
I-R. Jennings, I need you here. I-R.
Are you going to the mall later? That's what I'm asking.
Yes, sir!
Irked.
Irked? That's a good
Irked
one from Jennings.
Is correct.
Jennings, like Noodles, look at this guy. He's
hey, it's
be...
not your best event. It's not your best. You went up against Kenny Jennings and he was strong.
I hate roasted. This game. I'm not doing this Wordle anymore. I did it this morning to prove a point.
I'll tell you what, after that performance, you should be doing it every damn day.
Noodles is going to
every
become,
damn day.
He's going to be flying around the world to Wordle competitions and going to be taking on kids and dominating. I think you're honestly.
Dude, we're
going to
see him on Jeopardy with a giant wig and a mustache, and he's going to say his name is John.
Yeah, I love it. The Wordle Phenom. Ken Jennings, a.k.a. Jamie Noodles McGlennon. Yeah. I sucked at that. I mean, I got to be honest. Wordle, I've had some troubles with Wordle. Today's word, it took me until the sixth row to figure it out. It took me a long time.
Well,
I wasn't happy with my performance.
Wasn't I four? I think I was
four.
Four,
I think. Because it screwed you. It had O was used twice, and that wasn't. That can be confusing at times. I don't want to give anything away. You know, I wouldn't want to ruin someone's Wordle if they do it at night.
Right.
But I like this game. I think we could overdrive sports Wordle. We could probably come up with more. We could do. How about a Wordle after dark? Can we come up with one more for Wordle after dark?
Me and Grappler can do that for you guys.
Okay.
And it'll
I like
be
it.
A greasy one. It'll be a greasy one.
Okay. Perfect. All right. We'll do that. Wordle after dark coming up in about an hour. Can't wait for that.
One more.
Horny
Wordle
after dark. Nick Nurse, he was rattled last night when Doncic hit that three late. Scotty Barnes basically just let him have it, and he was snapping on his assistants.
Dude, that was me defending that.
I don't know what Scotty Barnes was doing there. Like it just he completely
he just ran towards the basket and let him like
let
stop
him get him. Off a three. I mean, Luka's you know he's shooting at. He had 41 last night. Like that, Luka Doncic is crazy good. He's crazy good. You see the pass by Jokic to close that game out last night to Aaron Gordon, too. I know it wasn't the same game I was literally just talking about, but Jokic is a machine in Denver. He is so good. But Doncic, you just knew what was coming. And Nick Nurse was furious at the time. Yet after the game, he had a very different approach. We'll play the audio. We'll get into it. And Wordle After Dark in about an hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So we got an update here from the Canadian men's national team as they're stepping into that third window of the World Cup qualifying, and it starts a week today in Honduras. They're in Honduras, then they're at home against the Americans, then they're at El Salvador. And the American game will be on January 30th, and we heard the province announce today that they're easing into these, you know, different waves of restrictions being lifted, and they're playing at Tim Hortons Field on January 30th. That's against the U.S. That's as big of a game as you can get. You know, it's the most patriotic game. It's the biggest rivalry. And, of course, they had sold out the stadium. It was going to be a packed house. And I guess they're going to have 12,000 fans.
Are you kidding? Why don't they just go to Sherway Gardens and play then? Because I was there today and there's 7,000 people, 70 million people in there. Why don't you just have the game at Sherway Gardens? I don't understand.
It is weird how, yeah, you can go to a mall, you can go to Costco, packed house, you know, and yet.
Oh, stuff outdoors, like sardines into Costco. Go ahead.
Right. I know. But it's an outdoor park. I mean, 12,000 is better than nothing. You know, it's better than nothing, but you right. wanted a packed house. Like, you
Dude,
need an
it's
atmosphere.
Outdoors. It's outdoors.
Right.
I don't know. There's some dumb decisions. I'm not like. I'll get vaxxed and boosted and everything, but I get frustrated because I got really smart friends, you two included, and there's just people doing dumb things, just really dumb decisions. It's like, it's outdoors. What the hell are you talking about, 12,000 people?
Well,
like, give me a break.
Because now they're, you know, they got to be
40,000 people walking around Sherway Gardens and 12,000 people outdoors.
I don't get it. I don't understand the 3-week intervals, too.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. People are just doing stupid things. My kid can't go skiing. I'm not doing it. I promised myself I wouldn't do this.
It sounds like
positive 2022.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
I was reading that maybe things will change by the end of this month. They're looking at loosening things. Let's just look forward.
Well, they are. They announced it today, but they're doing it in intervals of 3 weeks.
Yeah. I know. It sucks.
They're loosening things in 3 weeks. One person can go to a restaurant. It's just positive 2022.
Anyway, positive 2022. Exactly. And that's what Nick Nurse was looking for after the game. He was doing his media presser, and they have lost tight games to the Suns, where it came down to the basically final possession. Tight game against Miami, tight game against Dallas. Like, those are three of the best teams in the NBA. And these are moral victories, though, right? But I think it's consistent, and it's a reality of where the Raptors are at. They are not an elite team. They're a scrappy team. They're, again, last night, the minutes was the same thing, a 7-man rotation. Champagne played, I think, 16, 17 minutes, and the rest of it was a 6-man rotation, effectively. I mean, they're running six guys into the ground. Fred VanVleet's breaking records with how often he's playing 40-plus. Guys on the court all night. So there was some questioning about, I think, the end of the game, the defensive breakdowns, and Nick Nurse was going nuclear on the sideline. Like, when Doncic, we just talked about it, when Doncic was wide open hitting that shot, he was going crazy.
On his assistants.
On his assistants, yes.
Right.
But here's how Nick Nurse responded to what type of vibe he was picking up with the media postgame last night.
Our guys played a really good game. I don't know why I'm sensing so much negativity here from everybody, but our guys played their guts out here tonight against a team that's 10-1 in their last 11.
So a little bit of fire there, you know, sticking up for his guys, and I think that would speak to moral victories at this point. That's just where you are, right?
Right.
Like, you lose to the Mavs and it's close and you work hard, that's a win. And I think it says something about this group that they're not deep, they don't have a bench, and they're playing a lot of games here on the road. Started the road trip in really poor fashion with a loss at Detroit. They go out the next night and win in Milwaukee. Milwaukee to Miami to Dallas is a really tough 3-game stretch on the road. And yeah, they're 1-2. But they could have won all three games. And it's not a could-have world that we live in, because that's not going to change where you are in the standings. But I could see where Nurse is coming from.
And you're seeing with both Nurse and Sheldon Keefe the two different moods and approaches and angles that they took. Because Sheldon Keefe could have easily said, with our record, I'm not going to go nuts on these guys after that particular loss. We had some young kids, but he didn't choose that route. He did not choose that route. And Nick Nurse said, you know what? We've been 10-1 in the last 11. We played our guts out, and I'm not going to go after anybody. I'm not going to be critical of Scotty Barnes for that play on Doncic. Mm-hmm. And it's like they have a bunch of different aisles they pick or doors, and it's like I'm going to open up door 2 tonight, and that's the friendly approach, or I might open up door 3, which is tear a strip off them. So we'll see what it's all calculated. They pick and choose what they're going to do.
Generally,
but you see
do.
The two different approaches last night.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And also two different teams, I think, dealing with very different expectations also. You know, the Leafs are a high-end team. The Leafs, I think a part of the frustration from Keith probably is we got to keep up with Tampa and Florida. You know, like we got to try to win the division if we can.
And maybe he feels like that's slipping.
Well, I mean, you throw a point away in Colorado, you lose at Arizona, and you lose last night when you're up 2-0 and 3-1. That's reasonable that frustration might show up. You know, maybe it's not much deeper than that. Like, hey, boys, we got to stay up with these guys because we want to try to get home ice, or we got to try to avoid them in the first round. You know, Boston's coming. You know, Boston's now rolling. They got a game in hand. They're 5 points back, but you're going to see them a lot down the stretch. Final hour coming up. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, will join us. Luke Wilson looking ahead to the divisional round in the NFL and Wordle after dark. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.